you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. The Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 5th, 2012. I have a special guest on the line with me. His name is Steve Jaeger. He's an associate pastor at Twin City Bible Church, and he's going to share some of his testimony and life story, along with what it was like to lead the all-campus worship on Friday, where about 800 college students gathered at the University of Illinois in Folinger Auditorium. But first, let me work backwards and highlight what an incredible weekend it was. Starting last night at the Muhammad Christian Church, the singing men of GNN did a fabulous job as we participated in a special service. Actually, it was the 8th annual Living Flag, a community veteran celebration, all-new musical, I Love This Land, featuring a salute to the armed forces. It was great seeing so many of the Great News Radio listeners out. The evening was very well done, honoring to our veterans and those that have served in the armed forces. Lots of neat highlights, including the colors presented by the Corn Belt Fire District Color Guard, the Air Force Detachment 190 ROTC Drill Team. Wow, did they do an incredible job twirling their rifles around and sequencing their march and all their movements with precision and great execution. The Small Wonders Preschool Singers, oh, were they adorable. These must have been 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds, if you can imagine, like 25 of them all trying to sing together. Oh, it would be a hard act to follow. And then Petty Officer First Class B. Hilsenhorf shared as guest speaker and did a great job at honoring those that have served in the armed forces and the extended family and kind of the unsung heroes, those behind the scenes and those around the Vietnam War era that really never got recognized or appreciated for their service. So it was a great evening. And then backstepped to Saturday night. Wow, was that fun and exciting. The competitive volleyball, as the Illinois women's volleyball team went up against Indiana and won. But the evening started with the singing men of GNN on the floor singing the national anthem. And then we got to sit right next to the band, which was very lively with all those fun songs. And then the Orange Crush, all these wild students dressed in orange going wild throughout the whole match. And then backstep to Friday night with the all-campus worship that I learned about at the last minute. And it was great gathering in Folinger Auditorium. The all-campus worship included 20-plus ministry organizations affiliated with the University of Illinois, along with some of the campus churches. And I think 800 or so people gathered and worshiped. And the president of Wheaton College was down and delivered a message. Well, before I have Steve Jaeger enter into this Monday's edition of Mark and Friends, I'll read a verse that's important and significant to his life, Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Well, Steve, thanks for hanging on the line. And I know I just read the Colossians 1:28 verse. And so I've known you a bit over the years because you've attended Twin City Bible Church. Yeah. I think when you were a student at U of I and you were involved and then you had your kind of calling there. And I know you were a pastoral intern and then you moved out of the area, returned. But before we talk about the specific calling you have on your life now, and the unique experience that you got to lead with worship, with the all-campus worship Friday night, which I got to attend, and I was thoroughly blessed and encouraged, and I want to talk a little about that. But for our listener maybe unfamiliar with Steve Jaeger and Amy, your wife, and your three children, and how you serve as associate pastor at Twin City Bible Church, which is a wonderful church, right there in the campus of the University of Illinois on Lincoln Avenue. I think it's Lincoln and Michigan, right?
Lincoln and Michigan, yeah.
Lincoln and Michigan. Of course, with another location. We'll talk about that too. But before we get into a couple of those topics, tell us a little of your faith journey because it goes back some years.
It does, yeah, that's right. So I came to the university as a freshman in the fall of 96. I was in the aerospace engineering program at U of I. I was coming from, I guess, what I would call a very a-spiritual background. Mm-hmm. Just spiritual life wasn't really a category that my family thought about or talked about. You know, it wasn't there for us growing up. So I didn't, when I came to college, I didn't have any sort of bad taste in my mouth for the gospel or a prejudice against the church or the Bible or anything like that. I was honestly just kind of curious. And so when I landed on campus, I started attending some churches, or just kind of shopping around out of curiosity. But the more I went, the more I was just kind of, you know, struck by what I heard there, what I experienced there, and really what made it kind of drop like a bomb in my life was when a friend of mine from the dorm said, "Hey, why don't you come with me on Sunday morning or to this church? It's just like a block away from, you know, from our dormitory." So I said, "Okay," and it ended up being Twin City Bible Church. I went that Sunday with that guy, and I was absolutely floored. I don't remember the specifics of what happened that first Sunday, but I remember that I couldn't stop myself from going back. That guy, the guy who took me, just fell out of the picture altogether. But I kept going, and what really drew me, I think, was hearing the story of the gospel for really the first time in my life. I had not heard the news that I was a sinner, that sin was a real thing, and that I needed a savior. But even more than that, that God loved me to the degree that He gave His own Son, that I could be saved from that sin. That was news to me.
Well, I'm thinking still back to this coming to the University of Illinois as an aerospace engineer. Now, that means you have some brights to you that to get into the University of Illinois, you got to be sharp already. But to get into the engineering field, which U of I is known for great engineering coursework and professors, but aerospace engineering, that's kind of like even a cut above. So did the message get to your heart? But it must have also gotten to your mind, because I know many times you're probably very analytical or thinking through things. And so how does an engineer, maybe with some of your background, come to that place where you see yourself as a sinner, and yet you got to, I'm sure, rationalize or use your intelligence to make it a heart and mind decision?
Sure, yeah. Well, I had plenty of friends in engineering who so many people in engineering are very rational and logical and critical thinkers. You really need to be, but it can go, people can apply those characteristics to any question and end up on two different opposite sides, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I had plenty of friends who would say that, you know, applying rationality to, you know, bigger questions in life would lead them to think there's no way that God could exist, or if He did, that He was powerful or loving or anything like that. But for me, I think where God really grabbed me was my heart. I mean, He spoke to my mind as well, and just thinking about the world around me, where it came from, how it operates. To me, just thinking as logically as I could anyway, about that, it didn't make any sense that this would be a world without God, without a maker. What really grabbed me even more was how God grabbed a hold of my heart. There were, I guess, some big issues in my life that really pushed me toward Him. I mean, freshman year of college was not a super easy year academically for me. Coming from high school, things were just, you know, they were a lot harder. I really had to work, and even my hardest work was not producing the kind of grades that I thought I should have. And so there was a lot of identity crumbling in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so identity's crumbling, and then just pain from understanding or feeling pain from a life lived apart from God more and more, especially in relationships, just a lot of relational pain. And, you know, all that was kind of building up more and more. And as I was listening to the preaching at TCBC, I was hearing my questions being answered, my need being pointed out, and it just really clicked for me.
And with Twin City being a Bible church, Twin City Bible Church, I'm sure you started getting rooted into scriptural reading and that practice of, you know, dividing God's word and reading it for yourself. Was there like an overnight change where suddenly, and when you opened up the Bible, you felt as if God was maybe then personalizing the message to you or speaking through the scriptures or the biblical narrative?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite parts of my story, the story God's written for me, is when I finally, you know, when I came to faith in Christ. So, you know, all through freshman year, I was just attending TCBC and hearing all this stuff and internalizing it, but not really doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. And went home for the summer, kind of got numb to it, came back sophomore year, and my world just started crashing down around me academically and relationally. And at that point, I began praying because God was, he was very real to me at that point, just praying for him to come into my life and do something about the pain that I felt. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's actually, it was in somewhere in that little maelstrom that I gave my life to the Lord in faith, but I didn't realize what had happened right away, and circumstances didn't really change for me. So I went and I introduced myself to the pastor of the church, the man who was a senior pastor then, Bill Meyer, and said, hey, would you read the Bible with me? I was probably like the easiest job of evangelism he's ever had in his life.
Yeah.
And he said, sure, I'd love to do that. And so we started reading the Gospel of John together. It was my first time reading John. And when we got, I would come in with a couple chapters read and questions, and we'd talk about it. And then when we got to the end, Bill said, well, Steve, do you understand what you've read? And I said, yeah, I think so. And he said, well, is that something that you would like? I mean, would you like to ask Christ to forgive your sins and be the Lord of your life? And I said, well, I've actually done that several times now. And it's because I didn't understand what had happened before in all those prayers. And he looked at me kind of quizzically and said, well, you only have to do it once.
Yes.
And, yeah, so that it was that moment as I was reading through John with Bill that understanding started to dawn at that point.
Mm-hmm. And certainly the Holy Spirit had been wooing you into that relationship with God, and that sanctification process that we all go through where we're continuing to be refined, to read Scripture with new lenses, glean new truths, and apply them into our everyday world. And thank you, God, for Pastor Bill and then others that were coming alongside you and leading you towards Christ and that commitment. Now, you mentioned relationships, and your forever bride, Amy, entered into the picture. Tell us how that first meeting was. Was it love at first sight? And now, three children later, you're doing pretty well there.
I'd say so, yeah. Well, believe it or not, it was not possible for it to be love at first sight because we were both dating other people when we met. It was actually through Bill and his wife, Mindy, that we met. We were put into a drama together that happened in a TCBC worship service on a Valentine's Day. It was all about, I don't know, like finding a real man or something. And Bill had a sermon that went on from there. But Amy was the girl looking for a real man, and then I played three different guys who were prospects potentially, and none of them could really pass muster. So we became friends through that, but like I said, we were dating other people. We were we dated, you know, off and on other people for the next 6 years, but were friends that entire time. And eventually in 2004, when I was an intern at TCBC, just a mutual friend of ours got sick, and we decided that we were going to make a meal for him. And then all of a sudden started finding excuses to spend more time together. Yeah, it went pretty quickly from there. And so we got engaged at the end of 2004, married in 2005, June of 2005. And then in August of 2005, we actually moved out to Boston where I went to seminary. Yeah, we had our first son out there, moved back in 2008, and that's when I started the church again.
Now, so you want to do a little shout-out for Ethan, and was it Isabel? You call Bella, I think?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then Owen?
Yeah, Bella and Owen are our youngest two.
And tell us something about Amy. Obviously, you had a friendship, and you saw things and characteristics in her, and she was involved in the church, so I believe, obviously, a believer at that point, but Husbandry 101 would say that there's probably some other things that you really love about her.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so we had that. There was that drama we were in together. But really, where Amy and I became much better friends was through the worship team at our church. She was a singer. I played the piano. And we got to know each other decently well through that. But then as we started dating and then were newly married, we had the chance to lead worship together quite a bit in different contexts. And something that I have just always loved about Amy is not just the beauty of her voice and face, but her love for God and the way that she is able to draw a group of believers into his presence and help them to know his love for them and to respond back with full hearts. Amy's just very good at that.
Yeah, that's a real gift. A worship leader is a special calling that God puts on people's hearts where you almost, as you see them up worshiping, you can worship vicariously through them, and yet they're not performing because you're very actively engaged worshiping God yourself, but They can kind of draw it out of you and facilitate it, and yet, you know, they have a pleasing sound themselves, or, you know, the instrument they're playing. And that's something that you did recently this past Friday night at the all-campus worship. I absolutely love the – it wasn't an event. It was really an all-campus worship where many organizations that are involved at the University of Illinois and various churches, which included international students, people representing all walks of life and all ages, but the preponderance was University of Illinois students, and you got to lead that worship. And I want to tie it back to your Colossians 1:28, because God has a special calling on your life as you serve as an associate pastor at Twin City Bible Church. But tell us about that worship experience, leading those literally hundreds of people. I don't know, I think Folinger holds like 1,500 or 1,800 people. I'm not sure. There were many hundreds there, but tell us about that experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, all-campus worship is something that's been going on the university campus for years and years now. I went to it as a student. It happens once a semester. The opportunity, well, first of all, just a chance to be there with, I would say there were probably 800, 900 students there on Friday night. Just the opportunity to be in one room with so many other Christian students, brothers and sisters in Christ, at a Big Ten university, that just doesn't happen. I mean, that is a really unique opportunity. And then for it to be to take place in a way where people are, they're worshiping so passionately. And then we even had Philip Ryken, president of Wheaton College, come down as a speaker, you know, to have God's word opened up to us in that way, and really to be presented with, you know, truth from him. It's a really powerful evening. So that, just all campus worship overall, is a fantastic experience. Then the chance to be up there as the leaders of worship. I was there with the kind of the Twin City Bible Church praise team or worship team. And all of those students who were up there on that team with me are friends of mine. I've led worship with them at TCBC for quite a while now. And we mix and match teams, so it's not always the same team. But just those students are fantastic. Their hearts for the Lord are they're contagious. And musically, God has just gifted them so incredibly. So you throw all of that together, and to be on a stage in the community of, you know, hundreds of students worshiping Jesus, there have not been other things like that in my life. It's an amazing experience. And as far as the Colossians 1:28 passage goes, worship, I think, it's the context where I see God having me live out the mission that he's given to me. I think there are a couple of other passages that the Lord has really put on my heart in terms of what my calling is. I think the calling he's given me is to be a shepherd after his own heart. So it's a shepherding role as a pastor. And so part of that is the Great Commission from Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I commanded. And then Ephesians 4, oh my goodness, 12, 19, I can't remember the verse number, but that the job of the pastor and the leader in the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So, you know, a shepherd's role is not to do everything for the church, but to give the church what it needs in order to live life with God, basically.
Oh, you're getting me fired up. That's something that I don't preach much, but I feel so strongly in that oftentimes so many congregants, members of churches, put everything onto the pastors. And that's wrong, because really the pastor's calling is to equip us biblically, to divide God's word, to equip us to go out into the world and be those ambassadors, those disciples of Jesus, and be effective in our realms of influence. And the pastors to equip us. We're not supposed to look for the pastor to do all the evangelism and the church growth and be technically savvy and all the hospital visits and all the things. Yeah, they're gifted. They're gifted in dividing God's word and have some unique skill sets. But I look at the pastors that are over me as being used of God to assist me to be effective in my realms of influence and my work and in life.
Absolutely, yeah. And so I see worship as being the context where God is using me right now in order to do that equipping. So my main role at TCBC as an associate pastor is to be the worship director. And so I lead the team that plans services. I lead the music teams, the praise teams there. And then at all campus worship, I mean, what we were doing, what the worship team was doing up there, was helping people to hear God's voice, his gracious revelation to us, and to respond faithfully. And so that's at the core, I think, of what it means to equip the saints for the work of ministry.
Well, we only have a minute or two here left, but I'm sure with people scanning the dial, or maybe some students are tuned in, or people that don't have a church home, tell us a little about Twin City Bible Church, because you're right there on campus, so it's a great location. But what's unique about Twin City Bible Church, and I attended there for many years and thoroughly enjoyed it, is you have a lot of young people there, and yet you still have some senior saints there that see this as a real missions field.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so TCBC has been around for almost 80 years now, and since its very beginning, even if we haven't phrased it this way, the heartbeat has been to be a Christ-centered church where community and campus come together to make a difference for God's kingdom around the world. That's our mission. Everybody who calls TCBC their church home has really, I think, valued, benefited from, loves being a part of this church community where we've got college students, we've got community people from all walks of life and all ages together. And I mean, I personally benefited from that. Some of my closest friends from my student days were actually community people that I got to be in small groups with when I was there. And so just the mission that we as a church are on has excited everybody there. And I think that, you know, we are 50% students. I think the students, they sense that when they're there. The connections they're able to make with community people have been really valuable to them.
Well, in our closing couple seconds, give us a website and phone number if people want to call and learn more about Twin City Bible Church.
Sure thing. Yeah, you can call us at 344-0641. You can find us online at tcbc.cc. We're also on Facebook. We've actually got a second site to our church, TCBC Midtown. You can find that on Facebook as well.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for being available. Great job on that all-campus worship gathering on Friday night. And next time it's around, make sure I know about it, because I want to let some of our listeners know about the blessing. When you're in a room filled with 800 students, internationals, people that love the Lord worshiping together, I was thoroughly energized and benefited from that gathering and was so glad to be able to participate. And I know it's a free event. Typically, like you said, I think it's quarterly at the University of Illinois.
Every semester, yeah.
Every semester. So keep us posted. Thanks for the role you have at serving at Twin City Bible Church as an associate pastor and faithfully leading worship and dividing God's word and having a heart to pastor people. So we appreciate your ministry work there.
Well, amen. Praise God for that.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right.
Talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.